Talks of another stimulus check are gaining major steam, and deaths and infections continue to surge as officials begin to reverse course and go back in the lockdown mode. And even President Trump has reversed course when it comes to COVID, restarting the White House COVID briefings, although for other reasons than to spread information. China and the USA both closed embassies as tensions continue to rise. The global recession continues with signs of getting worse. And all of that is just to say that there continues to be a lot to talk about. But we are going to continue to talk about H.R. 748, the CARES Act. On this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we are getting into part one and part two of subtitle E, covering Medicare provisions as a part of a group of HHS extensions. This is Lessons from the Screen. John Boy. Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, a show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. And as always, you are very much welcome. You should definitely remember that Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PACS Inc., a Black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through educational, culture shift, and economics. You can definitely, and you should definitely, check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's PACSinc.org. Leave a review, leave a comment, tell a friend to tell a friend. Check out the Learning Center, books, all kinds of stuff in there. Take a survey. Do whatever you can to help them because they are doing whatever they can to help you. And without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right on into it as we continue moving. We are past the halfway point, y'all. Let's get it cracking. Subtitle E, Health Human Services Extenders, Part 1, Medicare Provisions. So this section starts out, Section 3801. Extensions of the work geographic index floor under the Medicare program. And this section extends the work geographic practice cost index floor through to December 1st, 2020. This essentially maintains the increased payments for physician fees in areas with labor costs below the national average. So that's the geographic practice cost index floor. We're talking about locations where doctors have fees and they pay wages, their labor costs there that are below the national average. They get a bit of a bump right there to help support those locations, those areas. Section 3802, extensions of funding for quality measure endorsements, input and selection. Now this section provides further funding for HHS contracting with consensus-based entities, CBEs. Now, CBEs are organizations that are certified and permitted to design measures used to qualify the quality. That's interesting. Anyways, they qualify the quality of medical personnel and services. And not only is funding extended, but it is also increased from $5 million to $20 million through the extension, which ends October 1st, 2020. Section 3803 is an extension of funding outreach and assistance for low-income programs. And this section gives $13 million through October 1st, 2020 for state health insurance programs. It gives another $7.5 million extension through the end of the federal fiscal year to area agencies on aging. And the end of the fiscal year for the federal government is in October. But anyways, another $5 million through the end of the fiscal year for aging and disability resource centers, and $12 million through the end of the federal fiscal year for contracting with the National Center for Benefits and Outreach Enrollment. And all of these funding extensions also carry on through the end of the fiscal year to November 30th, 2020 at a prorated amount. So the amount that they would get for the whole year, they chop that off right there and you get, you know, the commensurate rate through November 30th, starting with the new fiscal year. And I just told you the fiscal year for the government ends, for the federal government ends in October. And so from there, we move into part two, which is also Medicaid provisions. And so we're jumping into section 3811, which is an extension of the money follows the person or MFP rebalancing demonstration program. And this section extends the $337.5 million in funding through the end of the fiscal year to the money follows the person rebalancing demonstration program. It further extends funding at a prorated amount to the program from October 1st to November 30th, 2020, similar to the last section we talked about. The money follows the person program rebalancing demonstration program was created with the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005 and provided $1.75 billion to the secretary to make awards to states to achieve certain objectives with regards to institutional, home, and community-based long-term care services and Medicaid programs. And decreasing the use, this was to decrease the use of institutional care and to encourage community and home-based care. And this section basically extends that program, provides funding for that program. Section 3812 extends the spousal impoverishment protections. Now, this section extends spousal impoverishment protections through to November 30th, 2020. It also gives clearance to states to make changes to the program. Now, the spousal impoverishment protections were first put in place in 1988 with the goal of preventing the expenses that come with nursing home care and other elderly care programs from causing poverty, because they expensive as shit. If requirements are met, the spouse of the person requiring care can retain a percentage of their income for themselves. And the person requiring the care qualifies for Medicaid and has a portion of their care paid for by the state. And the big part of the qualification piece to this is just the income of the couple, the income of the spouse in particular, that is going to be having to pay for this care for their partner, because it's expensive as shit. So moving on to section 3813, which is the delay of DSH reductions. And this section moves time frames regarding a reduction in Medicaid disproportionate share hospital payments, DSH, from 2021 out till 2022. Now, disproportionate share of hospital payments are made to qualifying hospitals that serve large numbers of Medicaid and uninsured individuals. And, you know, just keep the hospitals operating in the black, or to help the hospitals maintain in the black operations. And finally, the last section for the day, because the next show was going to be covered, finishing up subtitle E. And this whole subtitle is pretty short, but there's been a lot going on for me in my life right now. So whereas I would have normally just included this whole subtitle in one episode and just made it like 30, 40 minutes long, you know, you're going to get what you get this week. We're going to have this episode be probably about 15 minutes once it's all done, and then we'll just pick up with the second half of subtitle E next for the next show that drops. I'm not going to say next week, because I do still have hope and faith that we'll be able to put a show out at some point in between the week. But I know I'm like, this is all like either early show stuff or end show stuff. I don't know why I got it right here in the middle of the show, except to say that hopefully, since it's here, more people will listen to it, and I'll get less questions about the things that I answered at the end of the show, letting me know that people, once the show or the content is over, they stop listening. So anyways, but moving on, section 3814 is an extension and expansion of Community Mental Health Services Demonstration Program. Now, this program was originally set to expire in May 22nd of 2020, and it's extended out to November 30th of 2020, similar to a lot of the other extensions that we saw from some of the other programs we've talked about. And this section further compels the secretary, no later than 6 months after the enactment of the law, to select two states to participate in a two-year demonstration program. The section also sets forth provisions for the selection of states and requirements of states to selected to participate. And no later than 18 months after this law passes, the Comptroller General has to submit a report to the House and Senate describing the demonstration of the program, describing the program, including information on states' experiences, information on federal efforts to evaluate the demonstration program, and recommendations for improving reporting accuracy and validity, and the validity of encounter data. Now, this, I really don't have a lot bad to say about this, because this is an interesting section, the Medicare provision extension section, because a lot of these programs are programs that I feel like should be extended. They help people. Some of them I don't necessarily feel like go far enough in helping people, but I do feel like all of these programs, from what I could see, and I put this disclaimer out there frequently, I'm putting it out there again, I'm not a healthcare expert and I'm not a lawyer per se. I'm just a guy that reads laws and stuff and decided to talk about this one because it was gigantic in scope and the most expensive piece of legislation that's ever been passed in the history of the country. That being said, there might be some warts on the other side of, on the underside of these programs that we've talked about today that I'm just not familiar with. But from what I could gather, what I could research, and again, we put, you know, hours and hours into researching and looking at various different things for each one of these shows. Even the short 10-15 minute ones take, you know, at least 8 to 10 hours of research and prep time to put together. So in all of that time, though, I just wasn't able to find a lot of information about how these programs actually interact with the community that I'm mostly focused on, which would be the Black community, and whether or not these things are having a positive impact or a verifiable or even a, well, we'll just stick with that, a impact, a positive impact on the community. On a comparative level or on a purely effectiveness level. So, but the theory of all of these programs look good. And I say that with the full understanding that a lot of programs that were put forth that had horrible, horrible results for the community, in theory, looked good. The 94 crime bill that everyone loves to talk about nowadays being a prime example of that, a perfect example of a piece of legislation that on paper, in theory, looked great, but in application and practice, not so much. Didn't work out so great for our community. So, but I do like social programs. I do like programs that help people in need. I do like programs that provide a safety net for those that fall through. I do like programs of the sort that are mentioned in this section and that extend things. Now, one thing I would like to see is more reports on all of these programs regarding the efficacy of the program, the reach of the program, and the demographic breakdown of those being serviced by the programs. I would love to see more data like that regarding some of these programs, because for some of these programs, I couldn't find that data. The GAO report that's mentioned, especially with the last program we talked about, section 3814. I like GAO reports when they are actually completed. But you know how I feel about reports, because every time we have a show and we talk about reports, I talk about the fact that there usually isn't any real push to get these reports done. So, you know, people just, they just kind of do the reports whenever the hell they want to do them. And that's not something that I'm cool with, but it's something that Congress seems to be cool with. So I don't have a lot of faith in these reports being done when they're supposed to be done, how they're supposed to be done, or at the regular intervals that they're supposed to be done in. So I don't have a lot of faith in the government's ability to track these programs. And I think that's been borne out in the fact that so many government programs are just operating horribly, and the government doesn't have a clue until somebody blows a whistle, or some reporter digs up some dirt, or something comes out that wasn't supposed to come out. And that is basically caused by the lack of reporting and the lack of accountability throughout all government programs. And every time the government makes a program, they put something in the law saying that a piece of legislation or a report is supposed to be generated detailing what's going on in this program, and that report is either not generated or not looked at. So I don't have a lot of faith in the GAO portion of this report. I do think they need to start putting teeth behind that kind of stuff. Like if you don't produce a report, you will lose your job or something. That's kind of extreme, but something needs to happen. So with that being said, though, I hope everybody is staying safe. The coronavirus is not playing. Like COVID-19 is serious out here. People are dying. Things are ticking up. Things are getting worse, and they're going to continue to get worse until people start taking it seriously and start staying indoors. Stop giving in to your desire to want to be out. And I understand humans are social creatures, but being alive has to come first. And we have all of this modern technology. There are so many different ways that you can stay in contact with people. Let's just be smart about it, okay? The longer we pretend like this thing isn't real, the longer we're going to be trapped indoors, waiting for it to go away. Immunity is not something we should be looking forward to in terms of everybody catching it, because the death toll from that would be ridiculous, catastrophic, and heaven forbid somebody close to you dies. And even those that aren't dying, a lot of them are having to deal with permanent damage to their bodies. So just be safe, be smart, resist your urges. You know, everybody's intelligent, I hope. You know what's right, you know what's wrong. Don't play games with your life, though, and don't play games with the lives of your friends, your family either, because it's not just about you, it's about them as well. So that being said, if another stimulus check rolls around, another piece of legislation rolls around with a stimulus check in it, I will cover that. Even if I'm still doing this, I would at the very least interrupt what I'm doing now to at the very least cover the section regarding the stimulus. And we will make it do what it do. Oh, one last thing. There is a lot of misinformation and people lying about the amount of money that's available for people out there. I've covered most of that stuff in these past few shows. I've covered almost all of the legislation that gives money to the populace for COVID-related damages. This is not, it's free money in that you don't have to pay it back if you can get it. But it is not like they're just giving money to everybody, okay? In order for you to gain access to this money, first off, you need to have been in business prior to COVID starting. Second off, there is an income threshold for a lot of this stuff. It's not spoken of, but it's there. And third off, you have to be able to prove that COVID has negatively impacted your business. You can go and apply for these programs. You can. And some people might very well receive funds, but the vast majority of people are not going to receive funds. So all of the social media outlets and all of that other stuff out there saying that, if you go here, you can get $10,000 and blah, blah, blah. Like, all of that is trash. All of that, most of that is not true. Not saying that in theory or in principle it's a lie, because it's not in theory and in principle. But for practicality purposes, it's not true. The chances of you getting 10 grand are slim to none. And if you do get 10 grand, chances are you had to lie to get it, unless you were legitimately in business and met those thresholds. You had to lie to get it. Why would you want to play with the government like that? Not only are you playing with the government, and you be out of your fucking mind if you think that they're just going to, like, allow people to walk away with $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 and not say nothing. If one or two, a couple hundred people, sure. A couple thousand people, sure. But millions of people, nah. And even to that, you're talking about people, you know, you don't want to play with the IRS. Why would you play with these people about this money? And then the bigger issue there, not even going too deep into that. I know I'm staying surface level on that, because the idea is not to get too deep into that. But the other issue is just the simple fact of, look, there are legitimate businesses out there that need that money. And that money is not an infinite resource. Like, it's a very finite sum of money. So the 10 grand that you got, you're potentially taking it away from somebody that actually needed it, like really needed it. Not just for their own sake and the sake of their family, but also for the sake of maybe the one or two people that they employ in those families. So, and I'm not even talking, look, I understand a lot of people are like, well, I need it too for my family. Look, but if you have an income, if you have income and things are working out for you, like, don't use this to try to come up, because it's negatively impacting the rest of the people around you that really need it. And I know this is already getting a little long. This is longer than I thought it would be. I've been done with the show for a while. Now I'm just talking. But I'm going to stop talking now, because I've said everything I need to say, and I'm not going to draw it out. So I will see you guys next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen. Show love to PAX Inc. Oh, remember to go and check out the book. You can find the link on the website. You can also find a link on www.patrickbirvin.com. The Chasm, the Seemingly Growing Divide Between Black Men and Black Women. It is on Amazon. And I will catch you guys next week. This is Lessons from the Screen. John Boy. So thank you guys for listening to the show, to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you always enjoy it. Remember, you can check out all of the shows. All of them are going to be only found on the Freedom Train Network. That's www.freedomtrainradio.com. And that goes again for all of the shows on the network. You can only find all of the shows available for all of the shows on the network on Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. So go there and check them out. You only get the latest 25 shows, I believe, on the podcast directories. So check us out. Show support for all of the shows we have. Shelby's World, Enigma Self Hour, The Fix, Sports Podcast, Freedom Train Podcast Series, and all of the other shows that are around. Definitely go and show them love. As for this show in particular, you can check us out. Support us on Patreon.com. That's patreon.com/LFTS. That's patreon.com/LFTS. And there you can drop us. You can show support by sponsoring the show, giving us money every month, giving us money per episode, and just letting us know that you support us. And by doing such things, you allow us to be able to spend more time creating and composing the shows. Shows like this series and shows like a lot of the series that we do take a lot of time to put together. We're talking about hours upon hours upon hours of research. And it'd be nice to be able to take the time to do those shows and do them correctly the way we really want to do them. And also to be able to do them more frequently. because a lot of these shows should probably be done a lot more frequently. So, love you. See you next week. Hope you have fun.